So this morning I would like to consider what I'm going to call essential elements. And I'm thinking in terms of those things that are essential to us as a child of God. We're really on a journey. It's not the same kind of journey as getting in a car and you have a destination, but we have a destination. And every day we are traveling on a highway that He has provided for us. He says there will be a highway there. There's certain things that's not going to be on that highway. And therefore, you and I have to attain those essential elements to be able to be on this highway of holiness. So as I was meditating on the beginning of these thoughts, I think all of us would probably agree that faith would have to be at the top of the list. Because the scripture says that without faith, it is impossible for you and me to please the Lord. So I think faith is very important. I know it is. Not just think it, I know it. And then we would probably say love, and especially the love of God, would be counted as one that would be an essential element of my walk. We would think of hope. That would be important. You know where that all came from. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, or charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And we've had a number of messages concerning the love of God and how that you and I need to be filled with the love of God. So it's essential. Love is very important. And then, of course, we have grace. Grace is vital. We've had some messages on grace. But I'm thinking of essential elements as being actions, our actions, your actions, something that you demonstrate as a result of your salvation, or as a result of your very moment of when you repented and you knew that you were a child of God. So there's certain actions that happens after that. Our lives are changed. We have become new creatures in Christ. We're no longer that old man, or we're not following that old path. We're following something different. And so it produces, actually, I'm going to say physical action. It's not just going to be all unseen things. I believe that when we make our choice and we humble ourselves and submit ourselves and we repent and ask for the cleansing blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, something happens. And something is evident. So one of those actions would be being faithful in service. Now I'm just giving you a few things that the Lord gave to me as we approach the core of the message, but you know, we can, time goes on. I was thinking about how all of my life, I was born and raised in Guthrie. And so every Christmas, we were in church at Guthrie. It was the assembly meeting, and so it was just a part of our life. And this year, it's not going to happen there at Guthrie for it to be at the assembly meeting. And it affected me And it made me feel sad, and I didn't know how the day would even be. And then as we began to ask everyone what you thought of having the services here, did you know that will be the first time in the history of this congregation to have Christmas in the chapel? First time in the whole history of this congregation. So this is going to be something different. But you know, it's coming together. We're not forsaking our assembly. And I'm not saying you have to come here if you want to go somewhere else. But I think the Lord is going to meet us here with that. So meeting together is part of what's essential, what's important. And as we do it year after year, we get sort of in a rut or a routine, and we get accustomed. I think that would be okay to call it that. We get accustomed to one another, don't we? I mean, that's just life. But you and I have to stir ourselves to when we don't feel like it. And when we come to service and we think, well, it's just the same old thing. God is pleased when we do the same old thing. It's just takes effort. It takes energy. It takes denying my flesh. Don't we have to deny ourselves sometime in order to come to service? And we have what shall I call it? It's just really a tradition, because the Bible really doesn't speak about what services we're to have and how often and at what times. But it's been a tradition to have two services on Sunday, one on Wednesday night, and then we go to camp meetings and other meetings. And it's just tradition. And so we're filling, and it says for us to keep the traditions. The scripture says that. So in our actions, that to me would be one of the first things that would change about me. If I had not been interested or even hungry or thirsty before I got saved, but once I'm saved, something is reaching out for. And what is part of that? It is the hungering and the thirsting, isn't it, that we come here for? To be together, to worship together, to have fellowship together. Fellowship is very important in the eyes of the Lord. He wants us to be able to feed one another. Did you know this is not the only place from which you are fed? For me, and I sit up here and I can look back, and I hope you don't mind me looking in your faces, but it does something for me to see your faces. Now, just like you missed me for 7 months, I miss you if you're not here. And that is something that God has nurtured in us to be an encouragement and a comfort to one another. So another action would be that I would begin to study the Word of God. I would begin to read the Bible. I would begin to find His Word precious. I would, in my actions, I would take the little book and I would eat it. And I would find it sweet as honey in my mouth. And then it begins to digest in my life, and I find some places bitter. And it says, the word of the Lord says that's how it will be. But does that stop us from taking the word and studying it? What does the word say? Study to show yourself approved unto God. So there's a purpose in us desiring the word of God and studying the word of God. And then we also sort of think about the manna that was given to the children of Israel. And it said, you go out and you gather in that manna for today, but don't do for tomorrow, and it will be spoiled tomorrow. And we find that applies to us, that we have to seek after the word of the Lord today, for today. So that's some of the actions that will take place. Now, praying is another essential element of my actions. And only I can do that. I can perform that action. You have to perform the action for you. I do it for me. And we do it for each other. But it's still, it's me doing it. And it's you doing it. And the purpose of us praying, what is the purpose of us praying? Well, there's many purposes, and we're going to look into that. But one thing that I have found in praying is that God, I know, He wants me to communicate with Him. And then He wants to communicate with me. And He wants me to get so acquainted with His voice that I miss it if I don't hear it. And there comes a time in our walk that God is saying, now I want you to walk so much by faith that you don't have to hear my voice all the time. And so He's calling us to an action or a place of maturity that we believe He's there when we don't feel Him. But we don't quit praying when we don't hear His voice. Prayer is also, I believe there's something that happens with our prayer that we have more understanding. As because it is through prayer that He reveals Himself and I open myself up. So the essential elements, we're going to just include a few more here. It will be spiritual growth. And I said fellowship with one another. Fellowship is so important. And bearing one another's burdens, because that's part of our fellowship, is bearing one another's burdens. And what does the scripture say? You'll fulfill the law of Christ when you and I bear one another's burdens. One more I want to mention is learning how to trust in the only true God. Trust is not something that happens immediately or suddenly. It doesn't just fall on you. It's something that is developed. Yeah. Even when we trust each other, it is something that is developed. It is not something that just happens because I know your name. It isn't because I know the name of the Lord that all of a sudden I trust. But He begins to work with us individually. And He puts this in my life and that in my life. And it develops and grows, and I learn that I can trust Him and that He is worthy of my trust. So trusting in the Lord is not something that just happens overnight. It actually happens over the years. It becomes different as the years go by because of Him proving Himself to me in this small way. And then He proves Himself to me in this large, big way. And so little by little, the scripture even speaks of maybe not just trust, but other things, line upon line, precept upon precept, and here a little, and there a little, and that becomes our life and how we grow in trust. So, let me see. In learning to trust in the Lord, we also find His word that invites us to come to Him. And the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And then one thing I think that everyone that is here today has learned about God is that He is a prayer hearing,
yes,
and a prayer answering.
Yes,
and we have so many testimonies,
yes,
of what God has done recently. It's not an old report. It's up to date.
Amen.
We have a testimony that Lorinda gave just yesterday that Cheryl has given this week. Testimony after testimony. So we know we can trust in Him to bring everything to Him in prayer. So prayer is a vital part, and that's what we would like to speak to you about today. And it's a bigger subject than can ever be covered in one service. I looked on churchofgodpreaching.com, and I counted 64 messages under the title of prayer. And if you listened to every one of them, you'd find it would be a little different. Oh, there might be some things similar, but overall, prayer is just a huge subject for you and me. But it is so vital. So I'm going to give you some scriptures now. Psalm 65 and 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Just a little scripture, maybe not read very often, maybe not even memorized. But He's the one that hears our prayers. And He says, I want everyone to come to me.
Yes.
And when I thought of this scripture, the world sometimes, when they face danger or trauma or anything that causes a sudden fear, a lot of times there will be certain words come out of their mouth, won't there? God have mercy. God help. That's a prayer. And many times God has intervened with short prayers like that. And maybe it would be somebody that didn't really fear God before that, but there is a realization that there is a God in heaven and you can pray.
Yes.
So He hears prayers and He wants all flesh to come unto Him. Romans 8, 26 and 27, and I'm just going to give you some parts here because we may refer back to them a little bit later, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
That's right.
You know, we can get into a routine of prayer. And we don't always know exactly how to say our words, do we?
No,
but this is the last part I want us to get a hold of. He maketh intercessions for the saints. Did you know that was in the Bible? That He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know the people of God are the apple of His eye? the people of God are special in His sight. God loves the whole world. He's given the same sacrifice for the whole world. But to those who have availed themselves of that sacrifice, they become special. Do you believe that? If you're an apple of someone's eye, what does that mean? You're special. So He makes intercessions. We may not know how to pray correctly, and yet He's interceding for His people. Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God and that God sees us as special? I'm thankful. Revelations 5 and 8, and now we're going to do some in Revelations. And this is speaking about the 24 elders, and we spoke of it about two messages ago, maybe brought it up last Sunday too. We were speaking about them laying their crowns at the feet, you know, honoring, giving their glory, all of their glory back. Well, there's something else that the 24 elders did. They fell down before the Lamb, and I'm just giving this the very core of this verse, having golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. What's happening when you pray? Oh, sometimes we might feel like they're not going higher than the ceiling, but they are. Your prayers are vital. They're going somewhere. And it sounds like to me in this, if that there's some vials up there and the prayers of the saints are being stored in those places. Does it sound like that to you? I don't think our prayers are in vain. Whatever, wherever we pray, whatever we're praying for, I just don't think it's in vain. Now listen to what it says, to the next scripture, Revelations 8, verses 3 and 4. And it says, an angel stood before the altar having a golden censer and much incense that he offered with the prayers of all saints. And the smoke of the incense is verse 4. Which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. So let's be encouraged that whatever our prayers are, however they might not seem as important, they are important. And they are ascending up as a smoke, as a sweet-smelling savor. It's getting God's attention. When we pray in the name of Jesus, it gets His attention. And it says then that in these vials, they're going to be opened up. And the prayers that may have been prayed a long time ago, they're not in vain. They can still be heard and answered. Now I'm going to Hosea 14 and 2, giving you part of that verse. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him, and that's all I'm going to give, because I count that as a prayer. But it takes words. Now, does it take words every time? Every time, not always. It can just be the heart's faint whisper. See, it can come up before the Lord, your desire. Another scripture came to me after I got here, and it's Isaiah 41 and 21. And it says, produce your cause or your case. You've got a case. I have a special case. I have a special cause. Mine's going to be different than yours. your prayer is going to be somewhat different than mine. But it says, produce it. Produce your cause and your case, and saith the Lord. The Lord is saying this. He's inviting you. You tell me what you feel. You tell me what you need. You come before me. Produce your cause. And it says, bring forth your strong reasons. This is a wonderful scripture. It should encourage us even more to take time to produce my strong reasons. Lord, this is why I need you. And then it says, saith the King of Jacob. Now, if God said it, don't you think we ought to do it? Let's go on to another one. This one is a real challenge. And some have interpreted it one way, but I'm interpreting it as I read it. Isaiah 45 and 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. So this comes from the Lord. Ask of me. That's all I'm going to give you there. What does that say? Pray. If he's saying, ask of me something, doesn't that mean I can pray? So I'm leaving that part. Going to the last part, and it says, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. What do you think of that? Is God saying that you and I can command the works of his hands? Most people think not. They think God, well, you know, the scripture says, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. All we recognize the greatness of God. But this is God speaking right here. It says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, ask of me, pray to me. I'm going to say it that way. And concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. What are you going to do with that? What does it mean? I can tell you what I think it means. And it should encourage us. I think that the prayers of all of his people are that important. Yes. That he's saying, you just ask me what you need. Command the works of my hands. Oh, this is not taking or presuming. This is not that kind of request. This is not presuming, well, I have so much power with God that he'll go and he'll pluck up the mountains and he'll do it, but it won't be literal. He has already said to you and me, that we can, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that we will be able to say unto this mountain. It's not this kind of command. I believe God is very interested in our interest of his kingdom. We can carry these burdens to him and ask of him and say, Lord, take control of this. That's commanding the works of his hands. We're making our requests known unto God. That's all it is. You and I have no... what shall I call it? Supernatural power. But if we have faith, we can make our requests known unto God. We can leave it with him, or we can go beyond that and we can be as the widow woman that came before the unjust judge and importune. Either way, if you need to importune, Brother Austis has a message that I've listened to several times on prayer, instructions in prayer, and he tells that when you have made your request known unto God, and it is something very important to you and a burden to you, and you've said all of the words that you can say, he says, start all over. Say them again. God does not weary with us coming before him. His time might not be your time. He may be waiting, and he's doing it for a reason and a purpose, and it will work for good. But don't be discouraged. If you've emptied yourself out before the Lord and you've told him all that you have a desire for, and you come to the end of it, did you know there's another scripture that we can stand on? And it's back up here in Romans, the 8th chapter. And you know what it says? It says that the Spirit will cause, I'm giving you my words, the Spirit will cause, will make groanings and utterings that can't be even understood by you and me. But I want to tell you something. When we reach the end of our words, the Spirit can produce some other words. Have you ever been in that place? I have. I've come to the end of it, and I've cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, listen to the utterings of the Spirit in my behalf. You can say that too. So this next statement I have given here before, it's been very inspired to me. It's in a book, and it's in the book of I Dare to Call Him Father, and I encourage everyone to read it. It's so precious. So I'm not going to go into all of the details. I'm just going of why she learned this in the book. But it speaks to me today, and I want it to speak to us this morning. And this is what she learned about prayer. Our prayers are vital to our Lord. He works through them. Tremendous power is made available through a righteous man's earnest, believing prayer. Prayer releases this power into the person for whom we plead. Is that commanding the works of his hands? It is. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. Don't give up. Even if you're saying the same words over and over, say them again. God will hear those prayers. And I believe that when we do pray for others, I believe God's doing everything he can to answer those prayers. I believe that. He is working with our individuals. When you carry a burden for your loved one, God hears it. And he's going to do all he can. Thank the Lord that he is willing to work with even our unsaved loved ones. Yes. So, let me see. I'm going to need to probably hasten on. Want to just give you some other scriptures now that encourages me, and I want them to encourage you. And it's Isaiah 58 and 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. What does that make you think of? Well, when Samuel heard the voice of the Lord calling his name, and he finally understood, and what did he say? Here am I. And you know, the Lord, when he is calling for us day by day, come apart, come into your closet. I want to have a closet experience with you. That's a precious place. Because when you and I have had an experience with him that is hidden away, it manifests itself. And those that we come in contact with They will take note that you've been with Jesus. It'll be apparent. It will be evident. So he says, when you call him, he's going to say, "Here I am. I'm right here. I'm here to listen to your cry." Isaiah 65:24, before they call, what happened? "I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." This is the kind of work he does with us. Psalms 91:15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him." You want to be honored? The word of the Lord says if we honor him, he will honor us. Thank the Lord. So I was in question about, but I've been curious, and I did ask not just this congregation, but I asked some to give me some of the words and the phrases that they might often use in their prayers, and I got some responses. And the one thing that I found, and I found this in my own life, in my own prayer, there was one word that was most common. And this word became most common in some of the responses also. And you know what that word was? Help. And the next time you pray, I would like for us to be very conscious of our prayers. It really was sort of a little eye-opener to me. I picked some minds. But think about how many times you say in your prayers, "Help. Help me." Or "Help somebody else." Did you know why we're crying for help? The scripture says, "The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to even direct his steps." And somebody had a song or something that said, "I can't even walk without holding his hand." It's our dependency. We are totally dependent. There's another scripture that I use in prayer a lot. And by the way, some of the responses that I had was using scripture in prayer. I recommend it. Get a hold of the word of the Lord. Hide it in your heart and use it in your prayers. It's good. But there is and now I may have forgot it, getting off on that. Oh, I remember it. It's a scripture that I was inspired to me many years ago, and so I use it in my prayer. And I say, "Lord, I have no sufficiency of myself. My sufficiency is of God, who hath made me an able minister of the New Testament." You might say, "Well, I'm not a minister," but you are a minister. The scripture calls us kings and priests. And you have no sufficiency to guide your life or to order your steps. You're just not sufficient. And you can pray the same prayer. You don't have to say the fullness of it. "I have no sufficiency of myself. That's why I need your help." Yes. Help me. And recognize how your loved ones need God's help also. So that was probably one of the most common words of in the responses that was given. So in a lot of, and you know, some of the responses was, "Oh, well, I start my prayer out with praise." That's good. That's part of it. That's how the Lord taught his disciples when they said, teach us how to pray. You and I can come before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me how to pray. I still say that. Help me to know how to pray. I say this, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much. Use it in your word. Let it be those words that you're bringing before him. Here's another one that was a little bit familiar. Lord, give. We need the Lord to give us some things, don't we?
Yeah.
And I just have Lord, give, ... because it'll be something different for you than for me. And Lord, one was, Lord, help me to walk humbly before you. That's a good phrase. Adopt it. Seek for humility. He said, if you, and wisdom. But I believe he is so pleased when we humble ourselves and we acknowledge, help me to be humble before you. Help me to walk humbly before you. There's so many that were similar. So I, another one was, I need you. Familiar among us.
Yes.
Most of us feel this place of, we're needy creatures before him. Lord, I need you. And so we'll probably put, there's another one. Lord, help me to be faithful. That was one that was familiar among us. Another one was a scripture, and they put the whole scripture in there. Search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's a, adopt it. Take the word of the Lord and go before him, because that's in his word. It's powerful words. Here was another one, and it's something that we've said many, many times. Work where no man can work. Isn't that commanding the work of his hands? Work where no man can work. This one I just have to give you because it really touched my heart. Thank you for rescuing me. I'm going to tell you who that's from. Lauren Eck. Thank you for rescuing me. By the way, pray for him. He needs our prayers. His grief, he needs our prayers. Another that is important for us to grasp hold of, because it's the word of the Lord. Lord, rebuke the devil in my behalf. We have an adversary. And let us never forget that it is the power of God. You're no match for the devil, but God is. Here's one that I have to give. And you know what's happening, and you know how to help. We've heard that here, haven't we? Sister Rosa did that one. Sometimes we're so burdened for our loved ones that we don't even know what to tell God to do for them. And so we'll say, Lord, do the best you can. He understands what that means. This one is one that I've used many times, and I think somebody else wrote it in or texted it. Help me not to be deceived. I want to encourage every one of us to put that in our prayers. Help me not to be deceived. Help me not to be blind. Help me not to believe a lie about myself. These are words that we can bring before the throne of grace. Now for a scripture. And the Lord said, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication thou hast made before me. God hears your prayers. So now I want to speak just a little bit in closing. I try not to take too long right here, but I want to encourage us concerning our congregation's prayer line and any other prayer lines. Prayer lines are important. I don't necessarily remember those growing up, but they have become very important in these last several years, partly because of technology. We have such access to quick information. And I love the fact that we have that technology. We can send it in the night if anybody's up. We can send it throughout the day, and you have almost instant responses. Oh, we do it with little prayer hands. Oh, we do it with a little heart, or some way we respond, or we respond to the need or the request. I believe God is so pleased that we are interested in each other's afflictions or trials or burdens or requests. It's important. And so we have access to this. Isn't it wonderful? So in it, this is what I want to stress to us now. What is being produced, or what is the action that is the result of this? It is unity and agreement. And those two are very essential elements in prayer, is to be in unity with one another. We're not at odds with each other. We have a love for one another. Oh, that is so. You know, the Lord said in His Word how precious is the unity of brethren. And He compared it to the oil going down the beard, and I can't see how that's precious at all. But I can figure it out in my mind that it's precious to have unity among the brethren. So, my testimony now. I cannot tell you how many times that the Lord met us as a result of the prayers on that prayer line in these last 7 months, 8 months. It works. I know it works, and so I want to encourage us that God hears those prayers. Maybe you don't go and get down on your knees and you don't pray 30 minutes for that request. But I believe He hears the cry of the heart as soon as we lift it up before Him for whatever the need was. So here's something about unity. Matthew 18 and 19. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father. Here's some more verses. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So, you know, that's just a few to encourage us that we're in unity, in one accord. And God hears. He's pleased. There is power in agreement. So thank the Lord. Now I'll give you some more scriptures. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's thank the Lord for all the saints. I believe God's pleased with that. So God is hearing and answering, but our part is to do the praying. I have just a little thought to end with this morning. And I've asked Robert, because he came and sang the song to me, I would like for them just to sing it for you all too. But I'm thinking of the when we pass through dark places and we don't feel that the prayers are going any higher than the ceiling. And I passed through a time in these past months that I would cover up my head and I just prayed. And I prayed constantly, it seemed like. And didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And didn't feel it was effective at all. It was a definite battle that lasted a long time. And I'm saying this because you might pass through some battles like this too sometime that you can't feel that God hears your prayers. So Robert and Julie came over to visit one time, and Robert sang this song to me, and I've got the chorus here, but I didn't get all of the words. When you don't feel like praying, pray. Do it anyway, when you don't feel like it. And when you think you just can't get through, pray. Precious to the Father's ears are three words. Lord, I'm here. I'm here. He said it to us. When you cry to him, he says, here I am. And then the last is, when you don't feel like praying, pray. So that's what we want to end with, and I'm going to ask Robert if they won't, at least sing the song there. I want it all. And if possible, maybe we can have this on the recording for the message. I feel like it's a wonderful song. I want you to pay attention to the words.
Weary bodies, troubled minds, they will defeat you every time. Circumstances all around, you may look dim, but even if you have to crawl, Jesus wants to hear it all. You will be all right if you can get to him. When you don't feel like praying, pray. One humble heart and one hope.
best you cannot pray. Then God removes him from your way. Weak and broken, you can cry, Lord, here I am. When you don't feel like praying, pray. And when you think you just can't get through, pray. Precious to the Father's ears are three words, Lord, I'm here. When you don't feel like praying, pray.